Statistics show that January and February are traditionally months when couples review their relationships. Spending more time at Christmas often means that any problems a relationship's been facing are likely to come to a head during the festive break. Do we expect too much from each other? And what can we do when the magic has faded? Jane Charles Ariyiki, director of the charity Redhill Counselling Centre, joins me in the studio with some advice on how to get back on track. Hello, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Annie.
It's great to have you here. So Christmas and the New Year can be a really challenging time of year. There's so much pressure to have the perfect Christmas or New Year. It's almost required of us, isn't it, to have the perfect experience being together. But the reality is that any flaws in our relationships, they really come under the microscope, don't they? Why do you think problems in our relationships become more noticeable during Christmas and New Year, Jane?
Well, as you say, it's a time of year when people have high expectations. They want to create that perfect family atmosphere and event. Therefore, having close proximity to yours and your partner's relatives can cause tensions. And it could also be that either you or your partner may have had difficult Christmases in the past. So the Christmas time will trigger those memories and moments, and that could cause difficulties as well. I think one of the things to do at Christmas is perhaps to have a chat about it and be realistic. How many people can you actually afford, as it were, in numbers to have round? And when do you want them to come? To agree those things beforehand.
So you're talking about boundaries, setting boundaries ab initio from the beginning.
Yes, that helps a lot, because we sometimes take our partners for granted and make assumptions. And if I assume that it's okay for me to bring 10 of my relatives round without really discussing that with my partner, and he's also got a plan as well, that's going to cause a problem. So it's best to talk things over and to agree how you're going to handle it.
And the thing is, I mean, you're talking about having boundaries and stuff, which is fantastic advice, but say we haven't set those boundaries ahead of time. And, you know, we often spend the new year making resolutions to lose weight or reduce the booze or whatever it is. But many of us don't add the same thought into making new year resolutions to improve our relationships, do we?
Yes, that is true. And relationships, they do require a lot of work. They don't just happen. You have to be working on your relationship 24/7, 365 days of the year. Otherwise, you know, you will get problem. And it always goes back to the issue of communication. What is the conversation that is going on between you and your partner? Do you take time out to just be with each other and get away from the house, the work, the children, so that you can have those conversations? It's also important when you are talking to your partner to give them the opportunity to speak and to say everything that they would like to say without interrupting them. That can be really hard, but if you give them that opportunity, give them your 100% attention when they have something important to discuss with you.
That's the thing. I mean, we need to basically ditch the complacency, don't we, with our relationships. We tend to think, right, got married or hook up with someone, job done.
Yes.
And there we are. It's all sorted. There we are. But we do need to constantly carry on nurturing our relationships, as you say, and directing our minds to improving a partnership. It can be quite scary, actually, when you settle down, you decided, yes, actually, we need to do a bit of housekeeping here with our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's quite scary to know where to start. So just help us. What can we do? How can we kick things back into shape? What sort of ideas can you give us?
Well, it is about having those conversations. As you say, if you are both off doing your own thing, going to work, looking after children, etc., etc., you sort of lose sight of each other. And sometimes it's good to just pull up and say, hold on, I'm not really sure what's going on between us. We're just sort of like you know, going through the motions, and to maybe say something about that to your partner, and to find a way for you to, as I said earlier, to spend time together, so that you can actually, you know, listen to each other. And we must also always remember that we are both individuals in a relationship. We're two unique people. We have our own unique needs, views and values. And even though at the start of the relationship we may think that, okay, myself and this person, we seem to be similar. But as you go deeper into the relationship over time, these differences between you will come up. And it's important to talk about them and to think about ways that you can work with them.
So how do you get back on track? Because I know this is a bit celebrity-led, I have to confess, but I've read about date nights, you know,
yes,
asking each other out on dates, having a set night when you go out on your own without the kids or without work to talk about, all that kind of stuff, asking each other out on a date. I mean, it sounds a bit weird initially, but it's about breaking routine, isn't it? Do you
yes.
think that's beneficial?
Yes, absolutely. I think that doing something together or doing things together, especially if they are fun things, that will where you can be relaxed and you can open up, and you know you can talk to each other freely, really helps a lot. And as you say, to make a point of marking that as dates in your diary that can't be changed, where one or the other of you isn't going to try and opt out.
One thing I wanted to ask you, actually, Jane, is that what if one spouse is keen to do this, to set this in motion, and the other one isn't so sure? What if a wife or husband has suggested this to their partner and they're still waiting for their invite? So what can a partner do to show that they're taking this whole thing seriously without sounding like a nag?
Yes, that's difficult. Because you need to find out why it is that they are disinterested, and maybe take the initiative, book something, and tell them about it, and sort of make it difficult for them to get out of it. So you know you create the occasion. It could even be having a lovely meal at home together, and you know, without the children there and so on, if it's difficult to go out.
What about instigating things to kind of, I don't know, move it in the right direction, like sending your partner a nice message? It doesn't have to be anything over the top, but it could be a nice one, like, oh, have a nice day. I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but have a nice day, or I'm missing you, or we can't wait to see you tonight, or something like that, just to kind of start the ball rolling and to make, I don't know, just instigate that slight change in your rut, in your routine.
Yes. It's really important to remember and to think about these little things, because as we were saying earlier, we can end up taking each other for granted. And it could be things like, oh, I've forgotten my partner's birthday, I didn't give them a birthday card, and then it goes on from that. So little things, as you say, like sending nice little messages to each other, or just complimenting your partner on how they look when they're leaving for work, or just say, I'm looking forward to us spending the evening together later on. All these little things help. And if the relationship has got into a bit of a rut, it can be a way to gently start to get things on the right track again.
Okay. Let's talk about the blame game, shall we? We can often list things we don't like or apportion blame on our partners. How can we stop this cycle of blaming each other? You do this, you do that. No, I don't. Blah, blah, blah. You put your towel on the floor. You don't put things in the laundry basket. It gets really tit for tat, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, the thing is with blame is that when we blame or criticise our partner, it's usually a reflection of how we feel about ourselves.
Really?
Yes. It could be that we ourselves are dissatisfied with aspects of ourselves.
So it's like deflecting our unhappiness onto them.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes. And it could be a something which is sort of really coming out from the past, something that you're copying. Maybe your mother or your father was very critical and always finding faults with you.
So it's learned behaviour.
Yes, it can be learned behaviour.
And it's also, it's not just about what your partner has or hasn't done. Like you say, it's actually about you and what you can do to make things better, isn't it?
Yes, it's really helpful to do some self-analysis, which could be just about standing back, and if you are noticing or your partner has noticed there is a pattern in your behaviour which is really causing a problem for both of you, for you to stand back and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Am I very critical? Am I always nagging? Am I always, whatever it is, ask yourself honestly what it is that is causing you a problem.
So say you've done that, you've had your self-reflection, but there are issues that you do need to resolve between yourselves as a couple. Can you give us some advice on the choice of words that we could use? If we have an issue that's bothering us, what sort of language helps things be less inflammatory, Jane?
Yes, I think it's about choosing your words and choosing your moments, because you don't always have to respond when, if your partner speaks to you angrily, you know, don't let it be like you're locking heads.
So like a traffic light thing that everyone talks about, you have to stop and think before you react.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it may be that it's best not, if one of you says something angry, it may be better to pull back and say, okay, we can talk about this later. I need to think about this.
And choosing your moment where, like you say, things are not so heated, choosing a good moment where you could maybe even compliment them and say, I really like that you do X, and then
yes,
gently introduce the idea as something that you don't quite like so much or that you feel needs to be resolved. That's less inflammatory, I guess.
Yes. It's always important to be positive, but at the same time, as you say, leave space to make the you know, the other type of comment, which is not so complimentary, but not to to be abusive or, you know, saying terrible things to each other, because that doesn't help. It's better to try and stay away from inflammatory language, name calling and so on, because it really doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get to a better place in your relationship, it's important to think about how you are communicating. Think about how you're coming across. If you shout, would you like somebody else to shout at you all the time? To think about it in that way.
Yes, okay. And you touched on this obviously earlier on about the whole idea of one partner initiating a dialogue and the other one maybe being a bit more reluctant. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't care, does it? Because often we tend to think, they haven't done this for me, or they haven't initiated a dialogue about something. That must mean they don't care about the relationship. But that's a very, very facile way of explaining things, isn't it? Because we're all very, very different. We all approach things in different ways. And maybe sometimes in a partnership, you will inevitably have one partner who is the one that wants to bring issues to the table, and that's part of their personality and drive. It doesn't necessarily mean the other partner doesn't care as much, does it?
No, it doesn't. And as you've said, that could be the dynamic in the relationship, that one of you is quieter than the other. One of you is more proactive than the other. And as long as that works, then there shouldn't be a problem. But all the same, it is worth checking out with your partner if they're okay with what you're doing, and to discuss all decisions together.
So you're saying sometimes it's actually a good idea to check in with your partner.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. If you're the one who is the doer, check in with him or her who is the quieter one.
Sure.
And let them take part in decision making.
Jane, what if after reflection, couples feel they've gone beyond the ability to make things right between them. They maybe don't have the desire or the emotional know-how to try and make things work between them. Is that the end of the road for them, or can counselling help?
Well, counselling can help, and it can be that they may find it helpful to go separately if they feel that there isn't really much room for negotiation between them. Because, as I was saying a bit earlier, that we're all unique and we all have our own, you know, things about us. And it may be that one partner may find that counselling helps them more than the other. In some partnerships that I have come across, one partner is definitely dead against counselling and they refuse to attend. But that is okay, because the partner that goes, they can talk about the relationship, and it can work out for them that way.
And you work for Redhill Counselling Centre, don't you? You're a director there.
Yes.
And presumably the whole idea of counselling is that you're on neutral ground, so to speak. You are there to have an objective view given to you. And that's kind of sometimes what you need when you're in this level of discord, don't you? Just talk us very quickly through how Redhill Counselling Centre works. What can we expect if we want to get some counselling and we come to see you?
Well, we offer, unusually nowadays for a counselling service, we offer long-term counselling, which can be up to 2 years. So people come to us with all sorts of issues, relationships, anxiety, depression, bereavement, and we try to help them with these issues.
So if somebody wants to come to see you, give us an idea of how they can get in touch. Give us the address and numbers and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, we are based at 24 Warwick Road in Redhill, and our telephone number is 01737 772844.
That's the 24-hour answer phone,
isn't
it?
Yes, that's the landline. There's also a mobile number that can be called, 07926 614 295. We are open for counselling Monday to Thursday evenings from 6 to 9, between 6 and 9. And what happens is that when you come, you would have an assessment initially, and then if you decide to go ahead with the counselling, it would then take place in weekly sessions for as long as you feel is necessary.
And is it means tested, Jane? Say, for example, you're on a lower income, it's going to be a bit of a stretch, you do need to sort your relationship out, but you're also going to have some problems. Is it means tested?
Not means tested as such, but we will ask people how much they can afford to pay.
Okay.
So the fee at the moment is set between 25 and 45. But if somebody even can't afford the lowest fee, we will still try to help them.
Okay. And now, the reality of life is that couples do decide to split up. If a relationship isn't repairable, how can a couple break amicably?
Well, breaking amicably is really dependent on why they are breaking up. Because if, for example, they are breaking up because there has been some infidelity, that could be very difficult to break up amicably about. But the thing to do is to try and get support from your friends and relatives, and also counselling could help if you think that may be helpful. And it's also important to remember that breaking up a relationship is a loss. So you have to give yourself time to grieve, time to reflect, and time to maybe look at your inner world, so that you can learn something from the experience of that relationship, and hopefully in your next relationship try to make it better.
Jane, thank you so much for pointing us in the right direction to help reconnect a relationship that's maybe in need of a bit of an MOT. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thanks. That was Jane Charles Ariki from Redhill Counselling Centre. And if you feel your relationship could do with an overhaul, you can get in touch with the centre by phone on 01737 772 844. That's the 24-hour answer phone. Or you could also call the mobile 07926 614 295. Or you can go to their webpage, redhillcounsellingcentre.org.uk. Local events coming up after this track.